Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and I'll be your host for this edition of the pod. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball-related from Wednesday, August 12th. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league. And it was a light day when it comes to news, notes, and transactions, but we'll run through them regardless. We'll start with the bad news, as third baseman Kyle Karros was placed on the seven-day IL with a concussion. Karros is likely to miss a week, but you never know with a concussion. He's had a great season for the Rockies. Willie Castro will cover third base in Karros' absence, while Connor Norby mans second base on a full-time basis. Second baseman Adiel Amador was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. Amador is no longer a top prospect, but he is still just 23 years old at AAA this year. Amador batted .261 with 11 homers, 11 steals, and a 93 WRC plus, though he's more of a points league play if he does get playing time for the Rockies, as he's walked 15% of the time while striking out just 11% of the time. He could get into the lineup at second base versus left-handed pitchers if Connor Norby shifts to DH to replace Mickey Moniak against Southpaws. Next, reliever Jose Suarez was placed on the 15-day IL with a hip strain, and reliever Drew Rom was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. And lastly, outfielder Riley Green was placed on the 10-day IL with a hamstring strain. The timeline for Green's return is unclear. Outfielder Corey Yolks was selected from the minors in a corresponding move. He will be on the short side of a right field platoon with Zach McKinstry, as outfielder James Outman will fill in for Riley Green on the strong side of a left field platoon with Ben Maljory. In terms of transactions, starting pitcher Jackson Kent was selected from the minors to make his MLB debut against the Cubs. Kent tossed four innings, allowing three hits and three earned runs, walking five while striking out six, inducing six whiffs with 24% CSW across 78 pitches. As expected, Kent displayed a poorly shaped 92 to 93 mile per hour four seamer, which is improved by elite 7.1 feet of extension. He also had an effective slider versus left-handed batters and a dope changeup for right-handed batters with a curve that looked to steal called strikes. Kent has swatch written all over him as long as he can get rid of the jitters and throw more than 47% overall strikes, which led to the five walks on Wednesday. I don't want to test Kent in Texas next, but if he does find some strikes, if he does figure out his command in that start, he could find himself being a sneaky streamer with the Marlins back-to-back in his next two starts afterwards. Starting pitcher Miles Michaelis was designated for assignment in a corresponding move. And that's all the news we have. So we'll head over and look at our notable performances from Wednesday, a day in which we had a full slate of 15 games. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with third baseman Alex Bregman, who helped the Cubs to a win in our nation's capital, going 3-for-3 with three runs, three home runs, seven runs batted in, and two walks for good measure. Bregman is up to 16 home runs now. The first one went 397 feet at 96 miles per hour. The second one went 383 feet at 98 miles per hour. And the third one went 394 feet at 98 miles per hour. Bregman recorded the first three-homer game of his career, giving him four home runs in the past 2 days, which has completely turned around his season. Now Bregman is on track to eclipse 20 home runs on the year. And we sort of know what to expect from Bregman at this point in his career, but it is promising to see that he hasn't taken a major step back offensively after leaving a pair of parks that perfectly suited his pulled fly ball profile, as he used to play with the Astros in Daikin Park and then played sort of a half season, an injured half season for the Red Sox in Fenway. If Bregman could cut back on the strikeouts a little bit, he's at 16% on the strikeout rate right now, which is the second worst mark of his career. He may bump his average north of .260 for the ninth time in 11 seasons. Next, we have outfielder Trent Grisham, who helped the Yankees to win against the Mariners, going 3-for-5 with three runs, a double, two home runs and four runs batted in. Grisham is up to 15 home runs. The first one went 364 feet at 96 miles per hour, and the second one went 398 feet at 103 miles per hour. And nobody thought Grisham would repeat last year's breakout performance, but he's still been pretty solid this year, especially in points leagues, thanks to a career low 17% strikeout rate to go with his typically excellent plate discipline manifesting in a 12% walk rate. It's not 34 home runs like he had last year, but Grisham could still eclipse 20 with just five more home runs this year. He's also chipped in seven stolen bases, which is more than twice as many as the three he had last year. Grisham is a fly ball pull hitter, so he shouldn't run high BABIPs generally, but his 229 BABIP this year is super unlucky, and StatCast agrees with the assertion that Grisham should regress in the final months. I'd expect him to have a very strong finish to the season. And lastly, we have third baseman Austin Riley, who helped the Braves to a win against the Mets, going 3-for-4 with two runs, a double, a home run, and a run batted in. It was his 15th homer of the year, and it traveled 438 feet at 109 miles per hour, making it the furthest hit ball of the day in baseball on Wednesday. And it's been a tough year for Austin Riley, who even after this game is sporting a 674 OPS. And he's been searching for his all-star form for a couple of years now. But for anyone hoping for a late season surge from Riley, I think it's happening right now. Since the beginning of August, Riley's batted 325 with now a trio of home runs. He's still striking out a bunch, but he's rocking a sky-high barrel rate north of 23%. And I think I'd be picking him up everywhere and riding it out. His track record suggests that the upside is worth chasing from Austin Riley. But if you'd like a breakdown of other notable hitting performances from Wednesday, check out the Daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the mound and check out some notable starting pitching performances, opening with Luis Castillo against the Reds, who tossed seven shutout innings, allowing just one hit with two walks and 10 strikeouts. He induced 22 whiffs with 36% CSW across 104 pitches, and Castillo earned the golden goal, helping the White Sox to win. He earned the gallows pole by leading baseball with those 22 whiffs, and he led baseball with 36% CSW to earn the King Cole. An incredible performance here from Luis Castillo, and he didn't look great in his White Sox debut, but facing his former ball club, he had his best start of the year, completing at least six frames for the first time since at least six scoreless frames for the first time since his first start of the season, while setting a season high with 10 strikeouts and 22 whiffs. As things usually are when Castillo finds success, it was thanks to pristine command. Four seamers and sinkers found their way upstairs. Changeups landed below the zone to left-handed batters, and sliders nailed the low and away corner to right-handed batters. If Castillo had that command every time out, he'd be awesome, but that has not been a consistent skill that he's proven to have this year. I'll need to see it one more time from Castillo on the north side of Chicago next before I can put my stamp of approval on him as somebody to trust moving forward. Next, we have George Klaassen, who helped the Angels to win against the Rangers, tossing six innings, allowing five hits and two earned runs, walking one while striking out five. He induced 14 whiffs with 30% CSW across 87 pitches. And Klaassen has great stuff, but he has not displayed great control this year. He walked 14 batters in his first three starts, but he finally found the zone on Wednesday, walking just one batter and returning 73% strikes on four seamers and sliders combined. There wasn't much of an approach from Klaassen. He's just looking to fill up the zone with his 1-2 punch and then incorporate changeups arm side to left-handed batters. It makes him a little bit homer prone because he's going to fill up the zone, have a lot of pitches down the middle, but I could see this working in deep leagues, and I'm not opposed to taking a chance in Houston next for George Klaassen. And that lastly, we've got Adrian Hauser, who did all he could, but the Giants lost to the Astros. He tossed six innings, allowing two hits and no earned runs, walking one while striking out five. He induced eight whiffs with 30% CSW across 73 pitches. And Hauser has excelled since getting moved to the bullpen. This was actually his first start back in the rotation since being relegated to the bullpen, but it continued a stretch of 10 outings in which Hauser's pitched to a 1.70 ERA with a 0.86 whip. The strikeouts aren't really there as he's fanned just 16% of the batters he's faced during that time, but Hauser's sitting north of 96 miles per hour, allowing his fastball to avoid damage in the zone, leading to a lot more weak contact, which is what he needs if he's going to be so reliant on batted balls, and it's allowed him to produce plenty of outs on balls in play. I'm not sure that batted ball luck is going to last forever for Hauser, especially with the Giants defense behind him, but he's definitely an option in deep leagues, and he's a streaming Toby option in standard leagues when he heads to Cleveland for his next start. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Wednesday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out my daily starting pitcher roundup, as I'll be covering the roundup and the Plus Pitch podcast right after I finish recording this podcast. Now we'll head over to the bullpen and check out the relievers that recorded saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. Starting with the former, Josh Hader recorded his 17th save with a perfect ninth. Yoendris Gomez worked around a solo shot for his 17th save. Jordan Romano recorded his 12th save with a hitless ninth. Cade Smith had a scoreless four-out save, his 31st of the year. Javier Assad had a four-inning save, his second save of the year. Louis Varland got the final two outs of the game to record his 26th save. Landon Knack had a scoreless eight-out save for his first save. And lastly, Ben Joyce recorded his first save with a perfect ninth. Sammy Natera was unavailable after pitching on back-to-back days. And considering that, it's unclear if it's a platoon between him and Joyce for the Angels' closer role, or if this is just Natera's job and Joyce was merely filling in. In terms of closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves, Brandon Garcia pitched a perfect ninth, trailing by two. Garcia hadn't pitched since Saturday, and the Diamondbacks are off today, so this was a maintenance outing for the Southpaw. Mason Miller pitched a hitless ninth in a tie game that the Padres would go on to win in 11 innings. Trevor McGill recorded five outs across the ninth and 10th in a tie game that the Brewers would lose in 11 innings. And lastly, Raisel Iglesias worked around a run, pitching the ninth inning up by four. The Braves are off today, so they were just getting him some work. But if you'd like more information on relief pitchers, check out Rick Graham's daily articles over on pitcherlist.com. And before I look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. Now we'll look forward to Thursday, August 13th, a day in which we'll have just nine games on the slate. My matchup of the day is Logan Gilbert versus Max Fried. Two absolute aces squaring off. That should be a fun matchup. Logan Gilbert versus Max Fried. In terms of probable starters, we've got six guys in the auto starts tier, including Gilbert and Fried. We've also got Jacob deGrom in Anaheim, Peyton Tolley in Toronto, Parker Messick in Detroit, and Kevin Gausman in our nation's capital. Our probably starts tier has four guys, and our questionable starts tier has three, and our do not starts tier has five. And that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Max Scherzer versus the Red Sox. He's been fine recently. He's obviously in the do not start tier. There have been very few options on the slate for streamers on Thursday, as there are only two guys who are rostered in less than 20% of leagues, Scherzer and the other guy to keep an eye out for, Tyler Phillips, who's taking on the Pirates. Neither of these starts are ones I want to do, especially in standard leagues, but if I have to choose one, I'm going with Max Scherzer. In terms of hitter suggestions, I target Red Sox hitters versus Scherzer in Rogers Center, as he has a 7.25 ERA on the season. And lastly, I target Twins hitters versus Aaron Nola in Target Field, as Nola has a 5.47 ERA on the season. Now we can close things out with our relievers to watch. Every closer should be available on Thursday, so start your closers as usual. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Sign up for PL Plus or PL Pro to gain access to the Discord and to support the Pitcher List staff. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler, where I do daily SP streamers and I break down every single start via the Pitcher List stats player cards. Tune into YouTube tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast. Carson Pickard will be with you tomorrow and throughout the weekend. And make sure to enjoy the day, as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.